Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We're going to cheer and boo and raise a hullabaloo at the ball game today.
All right, it's Dave Player back with you here on 720 WGN. So that song is all about baseball in Chicago to a generation of fans. And on Saturday, May 8th, history will be made here in Chicago when Beth Mowins becomes the first woman in Chicago Cubs history to serve as a play-by-play announcer in her first regular season game, both Saturday and Sunday. And to talk about it all is Marquee Network's Beth Mowins. Beth, welcome in.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to get going at Wrigley.
Yeah, I know. It's a big weekend ahead for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. And growing up, a baseball fan and knowing the history and the tradition of the Cubs organization and how special a place Wrigley is and the support is in Chicago, it's going to be a real thrill.
Well, and by the way, this is a get to know Beth. If our listeners don't know this, Beth is called NCAA championships in basketball, softball, soccer, and volleyball. For the last 15 years, she's been calling college football play-by-play for ESPN and ABC. A few years back, she also worked some NFL games for CBS Sports, play-by-play announcer for the Oakland Raiders preseason games. This isn't your first rodeo, Beth.
I've been fortunate to have some wonderful opportunities, and it's something, Dave, that I knew from a very young age that I wanted to do, and kind of discovered a path through play-by-play, and fortunately things have worked out pretty well, and this is a great opportunity.
It seems like such a progressive move for the Cubs and MLB for this, but at the same time, it's surprising to me it's taken so long to get to this point in broadcast history. And I helm the Broadcast Museum here in downtown Chicago. Having a woman helm an MLB game in Chicago, it's cool, but it seems crazy that it took this long to get there.
I think it's just a matter of having the right people in the room and the decision gets made. And fortunately, the Cubs and Marquee were all together on that.
Yeah.
And I think it's a wonderful time for, female fans to be able to see more and more women in the booth, more women calling games. The estimate is that we're starting to get close to about 50% of the fan base. So
amazing.
I've been watching games this week with the Dodgers in town, and you see a lot of women sitting front and center at Wrigley and love to be a part of everything that has to do with the Cubs, and so I think it's something that I take great responsibility in making sure that I'm well prepared. And I have a lot of fun, and hopefully that's what comes across. That I'm sitting there in the bleachers with you, just having a good time, enjoying the game.
Love that, love that. And you said you knew as a kid you wanted to do this. I saw an interview where it was told that you were calling neighborhood kickball games. So
if you need a kickball announcer or a wiffle ball announcer, I'm your girl.
You're
sure.
For hire. I love that.
Ghost in the graveyard. I used to call that back in the day.
I love that. I love that. And you called high school games too. So, you were doing this, on a different level pretty early on.
Yeah. Had I known, I wish we would have taken more pictures, and, this was back in the day before video. So, my dad, I was lucky. He was a high school basketball coach and a teacher. So I had access to, being the public address announcer, even when I was still in middle school, calling, doing the PA for our high school. So that was kind of the first step for me in a love affair that's lasted a lifetime.
Well, big shoes to fill. You got Brick House, you got Carey, Vince Lloyd, Jack Quinlan, Pat Hughes, Ron Santo, Steve Stone, all legendary names. And you and I are about the same age, about 36. And this is a big deal to be
again
this year. But it's a great group to be associated with, Beth.
There are a lot of pictures on the wall behind you there when you're calling games in the press box. So, I've always considered that more of, kind of the wind beneath your wings than any kind of weight. And, it's pretty special to walk into that booth and know, some of the the legends of our game, that, you know, the press box game, that have been there before you. And it's pretty cool to think that that you get to, you know, sit in that seat behind that same microphone.
Is that kind of what interested you in the Cubs? Like, I'm curious, like, why it could have been any team in America that you were doing this with. And obviously the legacy is important, but what got you excited about the Chicago Cubs, Beth?
Well, I think when you look not only around the U.S., but around the world, you know, it's a franchise that everybody knows and that everybody understands and appreciates the tradition and all that Cubs fans have had to endure over the years, and all the excitement and energy and enthusiasm around the Cubs, even when things weren't going great in the win column, right. I think is something that everybody appreciates. And certainly as a baseball fan growing up, you knew with the Ivy and back in those days, just day games, that it was a special place. And so it's one of those handful of franchises, I think, worldwide, that if you ever get a chance to be a part of, you jump at it.
I heard you in the spring training game. How did that first game feel, you know, for you?
It's been such an odd year, Dave, with the pandemic and, you know, with calling a lot of games from home.
Yeah, I know.
Or remotely. And in that case, you know, we were in Wrigley while the team was playing in Arizona. So it was, you know, sort of a half feel of what it's like. And I'm really excited to, you know, actually have the guys on the diamond live in front of us and the fans in the stands. It's just a completely different atmosphere and really excited to be a part of it.
Well, excited to actually have people in the stands. I mean, you know, you want to talk about a weird year. Last year was an odd year. Like, my kids are still like, are we going to a baseball game this year? Yeah, we are. Yeah, absolutely. We will be in the stands having a hot dog and enjoying some old style. Just me, not the kids, on that issue. But, you know, you broke the glass ceiling by calling an NFL game a few years back. First time a woman called a game in 30 years. I think it was Gail Sirens who handled that play-by-play back in 87. But why is it taking so long for the networks or the audience to accept a woman in any sports in the broadcast booth?
Well, I think first and foremost, you want to earn the opportunity, and you want to put yourself in a position to be considered for that. And I wish it would have happened a lot sooner. But honestly, the numbers now are getting a lot bigger for female play-by-play announcers. And baseball is actually a big reason why, because in the minor leagues, there's a wonderful opportunity to get a lot of reps in a very short period of time, and there are some really good women that are coming up through the ranks that I think we will see at the major league level real soon. But it hasn't always been a position where, you know, you're front and center as a play-by-play announcer. You're out front, and you are the sort of the lead voice. And there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that quite often teenage girls may not be drawn to or attracted to. And so I think over the years, one of the things I've really tried to stress is it's okay to be in the front of the line and to raise your hand in front of class and ask a lot of questions and dream big and be ambitious. And so I think that's something that hopefully more and more young girls through sports are embracing in their careers as well, and are being a lot bolder in what they attempt to do.
Well, you do a spectacular job. You absolutely do.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Let's talk about the Cubs.
You know, have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the Cubs a little bit. You know, I'm a lifelong Cubs fan, so, you know, good times, bad times, I'm there. One of the big problems I see right now for the Cubs, particularly lately, is the starting pitching has been tough. It has been like worse than baseball bad. Like, you know, they're behind the Angels. You know, what needs to pivot here, you think?
Well, I think for a lot of Cubs fans, you're looking at some of these games wondering, is this going to be the turning point? Is this the moment where guys play the way we thought they would? And so I'm really excited about this Dodger doubleheader sweep this week, because it did look like the old Kyle Hendricks. And I'm hoping maybe the next start for Zach Davies looks like the Zach Davies of last year when he was with the Padres. And I think those two guys are probably critical to the success of the starting pitching. It was a tough blow to lose Arrieta for, a week to 10 days, but you know, you've got to hope that those other two guys come around, and I really like the progression that Alzolay's making, and you know, Trevor Williams is going to have another chance against his old team this weekend, and so hopefully he's excited about that opportunity.
Here's who I'm excited about: this 19-year-old Ed Howard, sixth overall pick in last summer's draft. He was the first shortstop taken in the draft. They had him as the Cubs' fifth best prospect, and Baseball America had him as the fourth best. He's born and raised in Chicago, went to Mount Carmel High School.
Yeah.
You know, 19 years old. I think Chicago is a really great place for him and for the future of the team.
Yeah, that's the other big news this week, right, is that the minor league baseball is back and
yeah.
It's underway. And, you know, they have a really good group of shortstops, and I think Ed is probably at or near the top of that list. They picked up another guy in the Yu Darvish trade that I think, mm-hmm. Santana, that I think a lot of Cubs fans will be interested in following to see if they, you know, got another guy out of that deal, if you will. But there, you know, there's something. I live out in San Diego, and to watch Joe Musgrave, the homegrown guy, get the first no hitter in Padres history is something that is so special. And hopefully, Ed Howard gets that opportunity to be able to play at home and in front of your hometown fans would be really cool.
I hope so. Pirates Cubs this weekend. Their standings are actually quite similar.
I think this is you know, probably most Cubs fans thought they should have taken maybe four or five of six mm-hmm. from the Pirates earlier this year. That didn't happen. So I certainly think, you know, as we get deeper into the season, the Pirates are a team that a lot of people expected would be in the basement, and you really had to take care of business when you saw them. So it's not must win, but I think from the mindset moving forward of, hey, we need to establish ourselves as one of the teams to beat in the division, you have to take care of business against teams like the Pirates.
Beth Mowins, catch her on Saturday, May 8th for her first regular season Cubs game at Wrigley. She'll be there actually all weekend on the Marquee Network. Beth, congrats again, seriously, and I can't wait to hear you in the big booth.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Beth. All right, news is next here on 720 WGN.